Do you want to know what makes an eyelid grow? Then everybody watch the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of the Dean Show. We're here trying to help you understand Islam and Muslims. And today, we have a very, very important topic. We're going to be talking about the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran. We know that every messenger that God Almighty sent, He sent with revelation. He sent with scripture. Just to name a few. Moses, he came with the Torah. Abraham, he came with the scripture. Jesus, peace be upon him, he came with the Injil, the gospel, not the gospels. And the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he came with the Quran. This is the verbatim word of God. But how do we know? Because the previous scriptures, they were changed, altered, edited by man. How do we know that this book we have is indeed unchanged, unaltered, unedited, that it is indeed the verbatim word of God? We're going to be talking about the compilation, how it came, did it just fall down from the heavens? How was it revealed over a span of 23 years? And my next guest, Dr. Muhammad Mahdou, who is the former professor from the Johns Hopkins University, he's going to help us tackle this topic. When we come back on the Dean Show, we'll be right back.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, doctor.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing?
Fine, alhamdulillah.
Thank God. You're good, I'm good, we're all good.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm very happy you're here. Thank
you. I'm very happy as well.
It seems like I don't need to boast or anything, but it seems like the Muslims are the most happiest people. They're always like, thank God. You ask the Muslim, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
He just says, thank God.
We do that.
That's amazing.
Nothing is better than thanking God.
That's it. Another side of the many. We're just wanting to be godly people. And you know what? This book, this Quran, what we're talking about today, we want to know how it was compiled, because this is an instruction manual that is for the whole of mankind. So many people, our non-Muslim audience, you know, they've heard this word. There's a lot of misconceptions. Okay. So how can we give them this assurance that this is indeed revelation from the one who created us? Talk a little bit about this book, the Quran, the beginning stages, and we'll go from there. I'm going to pick your brain. I'm just so excited. Talk to us, Sheikh.
Thank you. Little bit is very little, so I need to elaborate on this issue because it's an important issue, and we need every human being on the earth to know how this Quran came to us, well protected, well preserved, nothing changed in it. And when you look at it from many perspectives, one perspective, if you look at it and if you trust God's words when He said that in the Quran itself, indeed I sent down the whole Quran and indeed I will keep it unchanged. This is, first of all, if a person believes that this is the word of God and he would find this word, so it absolutely would believe that it is.
That's a stamp.
I guarantee it, it's certified.
God is certified.
Absolutely.
Not Muhammad, no one else.
No, nobody. Muhammad is the receiver of the
Quran.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Just like Jesus, Moses, they're
all
receivers.
All of them are receivers.
Gotcha.
And here, really I'd like to elaborate. And the other one is that I will prove it exactly as it happened. I'll explain the steps and I leave everybody to think of how authentic this issue is. We Muslims believe that step by step, there is nothing that you can find, any gap, that any person on the earth that can prove that there is a change that happened. And in fact, Almighty Allah Himself in the Quran said that had it been from any other source except Almighty Allah, people would have plenty of discrepancies and contradictions in it. And this is not the case. There's not a single contradiction. And I'm quite sure that if any single contradiction had been proved, Muslims would quit the Quran.
Be finished.
Be finished. 1.5
billion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every child, every old man or old woman, every young person, everyone believes that this is from God. Not only that, still the Quran itself made a challenge to people
And it's not blind. We're not blindly.
Not blind.
We have evidence.
The Quran itself says that if you can do something similar to it, go ahead and show us.
So talk to us. Talk to us now, because when we say the Quran was revealed, did it just fall out of the heavens?
No, of course.
How did this work?
Of course, no.
Tell us.
It didn't fall. It didn't fall from heaven at all. The story is: first of all, the first step. I will tell you the name of the steps. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Quran was with Almighty Allah in something called the preserved tablets. Mm-hmm. This is a tablet, al-lawh al-mahfuz, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. Indeed, it is a glorious Quran that it is preserved in the preserved tablet. What is this preserved tablet? I give just a very quick hint. Mm-hmm. It's a tablet that has all the history of humanity. Everything in this universe that happened or will happen, it's already there.
Everything's there.
Since the creation of the pen, when Allah created it and commanded it to write, and it wrote everything that will happen in this universe until the day of judgment. This is called the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. The Quran was there, and it was in a place called Bayt al-Izzah. Bayt al-Izzah, the house of power, or the place of power. This is how accurate the Muslims would know, even when it was with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the preserved tablets in a place called Bayt al-Izzah. Now, then it was sent down to the lower heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a whole.
Yeah.
The Quran, which tells you a message here that Almighty Allah knew very well everything that will happen to the universe. So it came down to the lowest level of heaven, which is called, Bayt al-Izzah. This place is Bayt al-Izzah. So from al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, preserved tablet, to Bayt al-Izzah, the house of power. And it remained there until, and the verse that says this, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. This process, or this step, took place in the night of power, which is usually the 27th of the month of Ramadan. The Quran came as a whole to the lowest heaven, to the lowest sky. And it remained there. And from there, when Muhammad, peace be upon him, became a messenger of Allah, Jibreel used to, whenever Jibreel commanded by Almighty Allah to take this verse by memorization, so Jibreel would memorize the verse and would teach this verse to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran came in installments across 23 years. Whenever an event, an incident, something happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Jibreel to come up with the verse or the verses that address this issue, and it was sent to Muhammad, peace be upon him.
By the same angel. It's the same angel.
The same angel. He's
coming.
The same angel.
Same angel.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
The same angel who gave the message to Moses. The same angel who gave the message to Abraham. The same message, the same messenger, or the same angel,
Gabriel,
who gave the message to Jesus, alayhi salam.
Okay.
He is the same one.
Same one. Nothing different. All right.
And here's one thing that a person may think of. Jibreel may have perhaps made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And this is when you know the whole religion, when you know that Allah created angels who do not make mistakes. The default of an angel, he doesn't make mistakes. Not like humans. We are humans, we make mistakes, but angels don't do mistakes.
Angels don't make mistakes.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on Adin Show. Yes.
We'll be right back.
No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person and Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be out giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the da'wah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free, for free, for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith.
We're back. We left off where the Archangel Gabriel He is the one who is sending, giving the instructions, the revelation to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, you know, as I said, that this process took 23 years. Perhaps the angel would come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this day and would teach him some verses, two or three or five lines, according to the situation. And perhaps after 3 months or after 3 days or after 20 days or after a day or so, would come with another revelation and so on and so on. Now, so we guaranteed, it is guaranteed that it is from Almighty Allah. The message came to Jibril 100% correct. And from Jibril to Muhammad, peace be upon him, it's 100% correct. And from Muhammad, peace be upon him, to human beings, to the companions, and to the other people, 100% correct. Now we are talking about those human beings, the companions of the prophets and the followers and us. How did they keep the Quran without change? Now, as I said, that Jibreel would come to the Prophet ﷺ and teach him one or two or three or four verses from the Quran. Mm-hmm. And the way he taught him, like anyone who teaches any human being, he would say the verse. Muhammad would repeat the verse and he would review it one, two, three times until Muhammad ﷺ would learn these verses by listening, by listening. Like exactly how children learn nowadays. They listen to a song, they listen to a poem, and they memorize it, because of the repetition.
Yeah.
This process continued with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until somewhere in the middle of the message, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, "Hey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعَ قُرْآنَهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّا عَلَيْهِ بَيَانًا. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse that he said, "Hey Muhammad, don't bother. We are going to guarantee that, to ensure that once you listen to the verse, you are going to memorize."
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was human effort.
Yeah.
And the wisdom behind that, it shows us how to learn the Quran, how to teach it to others, and how to memorize it by yourself.
Yeah.
So it's a human act to tell us how to teach each other the Quran. And this is how all the people who teach the Quran, they use the same methodology that had been used by Jibril with Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now there's a divine intervention guaranteeing that every word Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would hear, he would memorize it. Mm-hmm. It's not a human effort, it's a divine effort.
Yeah.
What happens when Muhammad, peace be upon him, receives few ayat, few verses, few lines from the Quran after he memorizes them, he would immediately teach them to the companions. And this process was continuing in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Whenever he receives a message, he would memorize it and he would teach it to people. And people used to do two things: to memorize by repetition, by listening from the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ used to review this, and he would ask them, "Go ahead and say it," and he would correct them until they memorize it. Many of the companions, and he selected four people. They are called four scribes, the people who katabat al-wahy, the writers of the revelation.
During his time, while he's
in his house.
Not 100 years later, 200, this is in his while
house,
he's alive.
In his house. While he was alive, and in his house. Because why I'm stressing in his house, because there are many other people outside that used to write the Quran by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this process is taking place in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and he himself was checking the authenticity of their writing.
Yeah.
Of course, here is an issue. If the Prophet ﷺ didn't know how to read or write, and we know that, Muslims know that, the Prophet ﷺ
was
illiterate. I confirm it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Yes. Yeah.
Non-biased historians have also confirmed it. So this is okay.
Absolutely, yeah. 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 If he knows how to write, he would attribute the Quran to himself. He would never do that. Yeah. Anyway, here, so the Prophet ﷺ would, after he teaches those four people, and they start writing. And those four people, every Muslim almost knew them by heart. It's Zayd ibn Harith. And this is a very big name, famous, that he is from those Katabat al-Wahid. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Those are the four people who used to write the Quran in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever the revelation comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he learns it and he sends for them, he calls them, they come and he asks them to write. Mm-hmm. Now, four people are writing, not one copy, each one of them is writing his own copy. So now, this Zayd ibn Harith is writing, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib is writing, and then Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl is writing, and then Ubay ibn Ka'b is writing. The four of them are writing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Then when they finish writing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite again and would ask them to review what they have written. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know how to read, so he would ask them to review what they have written, and he would recite again, and according to his recitation, they guarantee, they ensure that this matches what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now you should understand that there are two processes are parallel to each other. One is the oral repetition from which a lot of people memorize the Quran, and the other thing is that the writing of the Quran. I'd like to elaborate, to tell people here, the audience and the viewers, that of course, the writing at that time, it's not similar to the writing that we have now. And if a person knows Arabic, yeah, he would know what I mean. For example, the most of the writing of Arabic language in all the newspapers, in all other countries, you will find that it's not written with the vowel system. This is the nature of Arabic language. You can write the word with the vowel or without the vowel. You know, let me give you an example. In English, if I apply this to English, yes, we'd write the word please, and the shorthand of it is PLZ nowadays. Mm-hmm. PLZ, so you're dropping the vowels from there, just keeping the consonants. This is an embedded quality of Arabic language.
Or like bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
BD.
Yeah, exactly. There are many examples of that. So, yeah.
They would understand what this is.
Absolutely. So the Quran, the first form of it was written like that, mm-hmm. without vowels, yes. And even without dots. Mm-hmm. I will elaborate on this later on. So the writing process was going on and on. And from time to time, Jibril would come and review with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the amount of the Quran that had been revealed during this period of time, whether it's 6 months or 1 year, right? Jibril would review with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam his memorization to check that everything is correct. And to tell us also another message that we need to review this from time to time. You can memorize the whole Quran, but after some time you may forget. Mm-hmm. So you need all the time to review and review. So now the Quran is written. How was it written? It was written on pieces of leather of animal. Mm-hmm. It was written on some bones of animals, like the shoulder, because it's big. And you can see many examples in the book, Islamic books of these. And also it was written on some pieces of wood. Whatever material that they could write on it, yes, they wrote on it. And of course, this was saved in the house of the Prophet, particularly in the house of Aisha, the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the youngest wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was kept there. You can imagine year after year, it's growing, and it took very big. What was going on outside the house? This was going on inside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Outside of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone would hear some verses, would memorize it, and would teach it to his family members or to his friends. And the Prophet ﷺ himself used to encourage Muslims to learn the Quran. He said that the best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran, who memorizes the Quran, and he teaches it to others.
So it was always in the hands of the people.
Absolutely.
As soon as it came down, it's being taught.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So people would teach it to each other. They memorize it because the reason is they need it in their prayer, because in our prayer, when we pray our daily prayer, five daily prayers, we need to recite something from the Quran. Yeah. So they need some material, some stuff to recite while they are performing their prayer. So this process was going on and on and on. And some people, some of the companions outside the house of the Prophet ﷺ also used to write the Quran. Mm-hmm. They memorize it. And those of them that who were not illiterate, who could read and write, so they used to write.
People are excited. They're just writing.
Absolutely.
Anyone who has
absolutely. It's
ability.
A treasure, something coming from Almighty Allah. There. This was going on outside. Outside the house of the Prophet.
Just like probably right now, someone's listening to you writing the notes.
Some
from
people
this
made
beautiful
taking
lecture.
Notes. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. In lectures, people say that take notes, and they were taking notes. Yeah. The people who were educated, who could write. And the people who didn't, they used to memorize. And this after 23 years, the Quran was completed, and it was in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 4 versions of the Quran was written. And the Prophet ﷺ reviewed all of them.
You said version, just to elaborate, is that someone might think, oh, so you got four different variations of the Quran?
No, it's the one that I wrote, the one that was written by Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the one that was written by Ubay ibn Ka'b, and the one was written by Zayd ibn Harithah.
Same Quran.
The same Quran, the same teacher, in the same place, and all of them kept together.
Mm-hmm.
In the house of the Prophet ﷺ. This was the case when the house of the Prophet ﷺ. The approximate number of the people who memorized the Quran at the time of the Prophet ﷺ when he died, the approximate number figure was 200 memorizers and few others. This was the known one because some people who might have memorized the Quran outside, but we didn't know them. The history did not record, but even those names, the 200 names can be mentioned to you, yes, when you dig into the history of Islam and you find the authentic books of Islam, you will find the names of all those ones who memorized the Quran. And so 200 memorizers and 4 copies written and kept in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, written on leather, written on bones, written on pieces of wood and written were kept in the house of the Prophet, particularly in the room or in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha.
The main thing now, it's memorized.
Memorized by 200 people.
Yeah. Now we're having the written form put down.
So in two ways now, memorized, yes, by rote memory, by heart, and at the same time it's written on paper, written on documents, written on leather and other things that were used at that time.
We're going to have to cut to a break, and we're going to continue on here on the Dean Show, talking about the verbatim Word of God, the Quran, how it was compiled, here with Dr. Muhammad Mahdoud. We'll be right back here on the Dean Show.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has 4 corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
Welcome back to the Dean Show. We are here talking about the compilation of the verbatim Word of God Almighty. In Arabic we say Allah, here with Dr. Mandu. Please continue on telling us.
Okay. This now here is the situation. I'd like to review it with everybody, so everybody would be sure of what was going exactly. But let me tell you that thing, that by the way, every Muslim would say that we know that the 4 people who were writing the Quran by name and by history and by biography, you would find in any narration that they were 5 people or 6 people. Every Muslim knows that they were 4 people. I mentioned their names many times, and here is the situation. The Quran came from Almighty Allah. Excuse me. From the preserved tablet to the lowest heaven in Bayt al-Izzah as a whole, and then it was in installments according to the events and the incidents that took place at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let me elaborate on things then. Some of the verses of the Quran were not just addressing what happens in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens in Medina, what happens in Mecca. It was addressing something global even. Something, for example, some battles between the Romans and the Persians, the Quran addressed them. The Quran was addressing a lot of things, not only the things that were happening in the place of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca or Medina.
Is it true, if I can interject, that there was also the creator correcting the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the Quran.
The
where the Creator is correcting the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would say something and say, like when he
turned around
and he found...
He was disciplining him.
Yeah.
He was teaching him the good morals.
All these
For example, even in the Quran itself, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do an act that does not befit his status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would correct him. For example, if he ignored somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send him a verse telling him to do this and that. And if he does anything that it does not befit him. For example, a very famous story, and this is very interesting for people to know what the context of the word insha'Allah. You find a lot of Muslims, almost every Muslim uses this word in every day, perhaps 20 or 30 times, insha'Allah, which means God willing. God willing.
Yeah.
It happened that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was every time the people would come to him, the Jews and Christians and Muslims would ask him questions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he knew, he would answer them. If he doesn't know, he would say, "I don't know." So in one case, the companions used one person came to him and asked him a question, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, "I'm going to tell you tomorrow," forgetting using the word inshallah, God willing. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach him a lesson that he should all the time use inshallah, so he kept the revelation. He did not send Jibreel to him. And waited 1 day, 2 days, and 1 week, after 2 weeks, and after a long time, Jibreel came to him and taught him this. Inshallah, to say qul inshallah.
This is in the Quran.
It is in the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf.
So if he's writing it now, he's correcting himself.
Doesn't make sense at all. So here Almighty Allah, the Creator, is correcting and teaching the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam what to say in his things, and this is documented in the Quran. Mm-hmm. That the Prophet ﷺ didn't do this, didn't say inshallah, and Allah is teaching him, disciplining him, and disciplining every Muslim.
Amazing. Yeah.
Because there's nothing that happens without the will of Almighty Allah. Mm-hmm. It's a very important lesson. That's why you find all Muslims are using this now to say that inshallah, inshallah. So this is a brief scenario of what was happening. 200 people memorizing the Quran. And four writers wrote four copies of the Quran. Each one of them was his own handwriting. And all these were reviewed, whether the memorizer of the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ used to review their recitation and to correct it. And at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ used to review what the companions, the four companions or the four scribes wrote. And he would ask them to review for each other, and he would recite, and each one of them would review what the other had written. And this was guaranteed. This was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, four copies of the Quran and at least 200 memorizers of the Quran all around Mecca and Medina. This was the situation until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and these four copies were left in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And still the number of the memorizer increases days after days, until the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first caliph came. And I hope in the next episode I will go on to continue explaining this in very simple language so everybody would understand exactly how the Quran was preserved.
God willing. And that means, I mean, what you just said, that inshallah we're going to do a part two.
Inshallah.
Because we're not done.
Part two. Absolutely, we're not done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank
you. So we look forward for part two. And we hope that, God willing, you're going to come back. Remember, Dr. Muhammad Mandu is going to have his own section at thedeanshow.com. So you can click, you can read his biography and all the shows that we're doing with him. So this is part one. Inshallah, God willing, we're going to be doing part two soon, so tune in next week or go online to see this exciting episode of the Quran, the verbatim word of God. Until next time, peace be unto you.
Peaceful.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. In the studio, Dr. Muhammad Mahdou, former professor from the Johns Hopkins University. We are covering the compilation of the verbatim word of not Muhammad, of not a man, but the verbatim word of God Almighty. In Arabic we say Allah. This is part two. You can go to thedeanshow.com. If you didn't see part one, Dr. Mandu has his own section there. And you can watch part one. We are continuing talking with the Sheikh, and we left off at the time when the Prophet, peace be upon him, had passed. And now we're going to continue from here. Talk to us, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for being with us
here again. For inviting me for hosting.
We're talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. We said it didn't fall from the sky. It was revealed over 23 years.
Yeah.
And we came all the way to the point where the recap, talk to us, recap a little bit from episode one, then we'll go from there.
Yes. Well, we said that at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the situation. At least there were 200 people, 200 companions, men and women. They memorized the Quran by heart, and they used to use it in every day in their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there were four copies, written copies, by four well-known companions, and this process took place in the house of the Prophet, peace be upon him. They were, as we mentioned, Zayd ibn Harith and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ikrimah ibn Abi Sufyan. There's four people. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ used to get a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel, peace be upon him, what happened is that the Prophet ﷺ would call those people and would ask them to write what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed that whatever Muhammad ﷺ said in the Quran, that it was guaranteed 100% that there is no mistake in it. So this was the situation until the Prophet ﷺ died. So in other words, there was no one compilation of the whole Quran in a form of a book. It was four copies, as I said, that written on leathers of animal, written on pieces of wood. Yeah. And by the way, there are some of these up till now, they are living. And perhaps you can see this in the screen. Yeah, some examples of the written on wood, some examples of...
Like what we're seeing right now.
That we were seeing right now, yeah. So you can see this by yourself. So the Quran was not compiled in one book, but as I said, that four versions of the same thing written by four different people and reviewed by the Prophet ﷺ. And even the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel, peace be upon him, reviewed the Quran with him twice in the last year before the Prophet ﷺ died. And even some of the companions, when they knew that Jibreel reviewed the Quran two times, which is not the custom of Jibreel, because he used to review the Quran with Muhammad once a year. But in the last, so the companions understood that Muhammad ﷺ is going to die because of this revision that was made by Jibreel in the last year of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. When Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first caliph, came, after just few weeks, some of the people refused to pay zakat, to pay the charity that they used to pay.
That's one of the pillars of Islam?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. And what happened is that this led Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said that I'm going to launch a war against those. He advised them first. He made many negotiations with them, but they insisted on their understanding. So there was a fight, which is a very famous fight in the history of Islam. It's called the Battle of Yamama.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. During this battle, approximately around 70 memorizers passed away, died. It was a very big problem.
Yes.
Although they had at that time more than 200 people, but 70 is a big loss. So here was the situation. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was sitting, and Umar ibn al-Khattab was sitting, and many companions were sitting, and the news came that 70 memorizer died in the Battle of Yamama. It was a very tragic situation. And then Umar ibn Khattab, peace be upon him, the second caliph, came up with this idea. He said that, hey Abu Bakr, why shouldn't we compile the Quran in one book, in one mushaf? The word mushaf in Arabic language, which is...
What does that mean, translated mushaf, in English?
Literally speaking, mushaf means the place of pages or the place of papers. In other words, a book.
Yeah.
So the Quran was not compiled into one thing at that time. So Umar ibn Khattab suggested this to Abu Bakr Siddiq. The natural response of the caliph, he rejected the idea. And Umar ibn Khattab started talking to him, asking him, why, Abu Bakr Siddiq, you reject this idea? Why do you reject this idea? He said, simply, I cannot do anything that the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't do. See how those people were so smart. They were afraid to do anything that may take them out of the way of the Prophet. He said no. He refused. Then the Umar ibn Khattab started explaining the concept to many companions. They were convinced. And then when almost all the companions, there was a consensus among the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, agreed on this issue, that it should be compiled in one. At that time, then and only then, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the caliph, accepted the idea. And by the way, here is the one thing, that in Islam, if the companions, if there is a consensus among the companions to do something, it becomes part of the religion.
So companions, these were, when we say his friends, people that were living during
At the time
they
of
saw
the Prophet,
him, ate called, with them, they knew his life, you know, backward,
day and night,
forward, everything.
They were recording everything. Even if the Prophet ﷺ would unbutton his shirt, they would unbutton their shirt. They just want to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. Even if sitting, putting one leg on another leg, they would do the same thing. Even if he's using his right hand like this, they would use their right hand. They would emulating the Prophet ﷺ in everything that he did, even in things that they are not related to the religion.
And now making this into one compiled book during the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was it because he was living at that time?
He was living, and not only that, there were 4 copies.
Yeah.
And now the matter is left in the hands of the people.
Okay.
So this was the idea. Now, what happened is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq called Zayd ibn Harith. Remember when I talked Zayd ibn Harith, one of the 4 people, the scribes who used to write the Quran at the time of the Prophet.
Yeah.
So he asked him to do that. You know that he's the leader of the nation, asking one of the people in the nation, and he refused. He said, I'm sorry, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
The reason is that this was not done at the time of the Prophet. See how cautious the companions were? They just wanted to stick to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happened after that, when all the companions explained this to him, that there is a consensus, and he said that, wallahi, had they asked me to remove the mountain of Uhud, this is the very famous mountain in close to Medina, have the companions asked me to remove the mountain of Uhud from its place to another place, it would have been an easier task for me than to do this compilation.
Hold it right there. We got to take a break. Don't use your place, Sheikh. We'll be right back on the Deen Show.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul.
All of the prophets would have been labeled Muslims because this essential message was the same message, submission to the will of God. This is God talking to you directly.
How could I stand behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach a sermon that I knew was at variance with the actual taproot of Christianity?
We're back here on the Deen Show with Dr. Muhammad Mahdou. It would have been easier, you said, to move the mountain
of Uhud
than
to compile the Quran, to do an act that was not done at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this tells us how smart the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were, how smart the disciples of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were. They wanted to keep everything as it was in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But there was a need that to compile it in one book. Yeah. And what happened at that time when he started compiling it? The way I'd like to elaborate on this, now we have four copies, as we said, four different handwritings, because each one companion has his own different font or different handwriting. My handwriting is different from your handwriting, Each one has his unique
handwriting. But same, nothing different there.
Yeah, of course, it's the same. We're still the four versions there. So what happened is that he started picking, yes, the good version that was not affected by the element of time. You know that by the element of time, sometimes there was wearing out, sometimes there's leakage of the ink, sometimes there are many other factors that affect the time. After 23 years, now it's, we were talking about 24 years, so he started selecting, for example, the first page, he would take it from the copy of Zaid, the second page would be taken from the copy of Ubay ibn Ka'b, and from these four copies, he compiled one version, and they compiled it together, and it came in a form of a book. Absolutely, it was not like that. Simply because it was not written on paper. Yeah. It was written, as we said, leather and stuff. You can imagine how huge that book is. I'm quite sure that it may extend from this wall to this wall.
Yeah.
But they were compiled together. And what happened after that? So all the left papers from the four copies, they were gathered together and they were burned. They were burned.
So let's just make this clear. You're saying that during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him,
these
were the copies that were made with the chief scribe who was there at the time.
Absolutely.
Now, again, he's there again.
He's the same one.
Checking
Zayd ibn Harith.
And these four, they're brought together. They're not different
Absolutely.
Versions like
not
this
at
is missing
all.
Here.
Not
this
There's
text
no here. Writing. Every just compilation.
Compilation, compiled bring
together
it together.
In one book.
Yeah.
You can imagine that this book
is. And this is the wisdom of the creator of the heavens and earth, making
absolutely.
All these steps happen.
With the consensus of the all
With
all
the consensus, there's no fight disputing,
no,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, this shouldn't be here, what
absolutely.
Are you doing? There's no fighting.
Absolutely.
Among, they all agree.
A lot of discussion, very academic and scientific,
yeah.
and deep discussion among
yeah.
them to see the rationale.
Because these are all God-fearing people.
Absolutely.
They're not trying to
absolutely.
Make a mistake here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not a single percent, 1%. An error here, an error factor. So the Quran was compiled in the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq and was left, of course, and this was in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha.
Now you said burning, because there are a lot of people
yeah.
who maybe just
absolutely.
Out of ignorance
absolutely.
Or intentionally, unintentionally,
absolutely.
They say that, look, they were different versions.
Okay.
And this is because now
How can
they
be
burned
first,
the Quran. So
absolutely.
Elaborate on this, please.
This is a very good question. Absolutely. First of all, how can they should be four different versions? If they are reviewed by the Prophet Allah. See, these four copies were written at the time of the Prophet.
Right.
And he used to review them from time to time.
Yeah.
And he used to ask each one of those scribes to review the other copy that was written. So
yeah.
all of them as the group of four people, they are responsible for these four copies.
Yeah.
And this, alhamdulillah, the wisdom of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It might have been an inspiration to him by Allah, but this is the wisdom. He made four people, not just one copy or two copies. Why? Because the effect of time might have made some changes.
Mm-hmm.
When you write a paper and you leave it for some time, yeah, when you come after some years, you see the effect of the time on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so wise. So there are now four copies. From these four copies, only one copy was made and was connected together, compiled together to make the first Mus'haf. And this Mus'haf, which means book, yes, this Mus'haf was known to be called the Mus'haf of Abi Bakr.
Mm-hmm.
Mus'haf of Abi Bakr. The reason is it was made at the time of Abi Bakr.
Yeah.
And you will see later on when we talk, when explain this, at the time of Uthman, yeah, it was called Uthman because it was done at the time of Uthman. It was not written by Uthman. It was not written by Abu Bakr Siddiq.
Yeah.
Even Abu Bakr Siddiq himself was not one of the writers of the Quran.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now we're at the time of Abu Bakr
Siddiq. Now at the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, who lived almost for 2 years and then he died. Mm-hmm. And after the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq came the second caliph. This was a situation, there is only one copy and there are many memorizers of the Quran. Every day passes, a lot of people memorize the Quran. Why? Because they need it in their daily prayers. They use it 5 times a day. And some of them were imams leading the prayers, so they needed that. And continuously, whenever somebody makes a mistake, he will be corrected by the followers who pray behind them. And this is, again, one of the wisdoms of the congregational prayer of the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are all encouraged as Muslims to pray in congregation and to see that if an imam makes a mistake, everyone who is a follower of him will correct him during the prayer. Yeah.
So now we have Abu Bakr Siddiq, and it's compiled there, but he passes away.
He passed away.
What
the situation
now?
Was, now this book was there. Abu Bakr Siddiq came. Umar ibn Khattab came after that. Mm-hmm. What happened is that the book was moved from the house of Aisha to the house of Hafs.
These are the prophets.
Again, it's wives.
Prophet's wives.
Yes.
They're still alive.
It's still alive, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened is that at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, I don't want to go into details, but anyway, nothing happened. Umar ibn Khattab used to send people, especially the memorizers, to the new countries that became Islamic countries, because the Muslims opened many countries and Islam spread in many countries. So Umar ibn Khattab used to send some memorizers to teach people the new converts or the new reverts to Islam, this the Quran. So Quran now is going beyond Mecca and beyond Medina to the new lands that had been added to the Islamic countries. So this was the situation at the time of Umar. Then Umar ibn Khattab passed away. Nothing happened. Still have, there's one Mus'haf. Mus'haf
it's still at the Prophet.
Exactly, in, the house,
his
in his house.
Hafsa. Right.
Hafsa.
Still there.
Still there.
Same one that compiled during the time
it's
of
the
Abu
same,
Bakr.
Abu Bakr Siddiq.
Okay.
Exactly. The same one that was taken from the four copies that went.
How many years later is this now?
Now you're talking about Umar ibn Khattab lived approximately 12 years.
So 12 and 2,
12
so
and
we got
two,
about
now,
14 years now.
Still the same copy.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens now that is the Islamic nation is increasing, is expanding in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the memorizer used to spread out and to teach other people how to memorize the Quran. So the number of the memorizers is increasing day after day. Men and women, old and young, every Arabs and non-Arabs.
Yeah.
At the time of Uthman, the third caliph, there was a big expansion. So what happened is that when the people recite the Quran, when I recite the Quran, especially, let me go back to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The people who memorized the Quran were from different tribes. And these tribes, of course, they have their own dialect.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can see that in English, there's a difference between the New York dialect and the Texas dialect and the Chicago people. In their places, they have different dialects. They read the same word, but with a dialect.
Yeah.
Yeah. With an accent or a dialect. And this is exactly what was happening in the time of the tribes were spreading here and there. There was long distances between them. There's not close communication. There was no media in them. So the Prophet ﷺ did not change their dialect, but they used to pronounce their the words according to their dialect. For example, let me tell you, some people would say schedule and some people would say schedule.
Yeah.
And this is something common in every language. So, and the Prophet ﷺ endorsed these writings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he accepted these pronunciation.
Give us one more. I like that what you said. You said schedule and
schedule.
Schedule.
And schedule.
And it will be another example so we
it
can hit home with
the this. same word.
Mother or mama.
Mom or mama or something.
Yeah, something like that. So people can understand.
Every language.
This is just what it is.
It's absolutely.
Just a little
it's a way of pronouncing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Pronouncing the word. Yes, that's it. And there are many examples in many languages like that. So now, those people, when they spread over the world, teaching the people. So if I say that, I pronounce it this way and you pronounce it this way. So they needed to match this with a written copy.
Oh, now it's coming home.
So a judgment, yeah.
Okay.
So now, okay, we need a written copy. So this, there was a need at the time of Uthman for having copies. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that, just you try to imagine, can you take out this and make a copy from the bone or from the, no? Of course it was impossible.
Yeah.
So what happened is he brought Zayd ibn Harith, the first one, again.
He's still alive.
He was still alive.
He's still there. That's still the alive. Chief
And this
scribe.
Is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And he brought other companions with him to help him. And he wrote one copy by his handwriting. He copied from those, this Mus'haf of Abu Bakr. He wrote it by hand. Now you can imagine that on paper, and it shrank down to this side, and perhaps the video would show the people that's this an example of it.
It's huge, yeah.
It was so huge, wow. But all of it on paper. Mm-hmm. And they made, he made, with the collaboration of three other companions, he made seven copies. Mm-hmm. So now there are seven copies written by the same person, were copied from this compilation of the Quran. And these seven copies were sent to seven places. One Mecca, one Medina, one Al-Basra, one Al-Kufa, one Al-Bahrain, one to Yemen, and one to Al-Sham, Syria and Lebanon. Seven copies were sent to them. And by the way, some of these copies, until now, they exist. One of them is in Turkey, in one of the museums there. One of them is in Egypt. Some of these original, I'm talking about these seven copies that were written almost 1,300 years ago or 1,400 years ago, they are still there. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the number of the memorizer that is increasing, not only among the Arabs, among all the other countries. This was the situation at the time of Uthman. And that's why this version that we have nowadays, it's called Uthmani.
Because this was just done during
because
his time.
Because this was done at the time.
Nothing
of
different
time.
From when
absolutely.
Abu Bakr's time.
Absolutely.
The Prophet's time. Everything
absolutely.
Is the same.
Even yeah. if it was still without vowels, without dots, it was in the same format, but seven copies of it. And the memorizers of the Quran used to take it as a reference if there a mistake in their memorization happens. We said that at the time of the third caliph, Uthman ibn Affan, the situation was like this. There were seven copies, handwritten, by the same chief scribe, mm-hmm. whose name is Zayd ibn Harith, and these copies were sent to these countries. When, as mentioned, these seven places, one of them to Yemen, one of them is to Sham, Syria and Lebanon, and another one was sent to Basra, another one was sent to Kufa, one was sent to Bahrain, and two remained in the area, one in Mecca and the other one was in Medina. Seven copies written by the same person. They were done at the time of Uthman, and that's why they are called Uthmani.
Right.
And that's why many of the versions of the Quran that we have nowadays, they call it Uthmanic Mus'haf, referring to that they were done at the time of Uthman the Third Caliph.
Elaborate when you say, because when we know we have multiple versions of the Bible, when you say version, because people think, now this is a different Quran,
of course,
and
no,
something's taken out from
no.
this one. What do you mean?
Yeah, as I said, that seven copies were yeah. made. So it's the same by the same person.
Yeah.
He copied from each one of them. He is the same person
yeah.
who did the same thing. So that's why I'm saying that. So the seven of them, they were spread here and there.
Yeah.
Now, we call this, I don't know, we call it version or edition or...
Yeah.
But we call it Uthmani because the font here, this was the same font that was taken from the time that the Quran was copied at the time of Uthman. That's why they call it Uthmani.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Talk to us now about the... You can continue on, but just a side note, when was it during this time that the Quran, some of the people that were making shorthand, they were taking notes that it was taken so there would be confusion and they were burned?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The time of Uthman, he recommended that. You know that there are many Muslims everywhere in the world, especially in the Arabia, they were writing for their own. They memorized the Quran, they want to write, so some of them might have written, the whole Quran, some of them might have written part of it. So at the time of Uthman, when these copies were made, he asked all the people who have some parts of the Quran or even other copies of the Quran, they would be collected and burned.
That's it. This is it. So, was there much resistance from the people?
Oh, no. No. Of course not. They would know that.
This was like a, you know, by force, like knocking on doors, breaking doors,
this
taking doesn't
this. Work. No. This doesn't work at all. Yeah. Because the companions were on the same level of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and some of them were, yes, even had greater impact in Islam and even in understanding of the Quran than Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So anyway, all these pieces and parts were gathered together and we burned it, and we still have the 7 copies. And when, as I said, as you can imagine, the long distance between these places mm-hmm. that the Quran were sent to. At the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the 4th caliph, nothing happened. There is no change. And this continued on and on. At the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, the concept of dotting, putting the dots on, this was not there. And that's why you would find that some words, yes, needed to have, yes, in the alphabet, this is changed in the writing system of the Arabic. So they added the dots to differentiate between
some letters. When was this now?
This was at the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan.
Uh-huh. How far is this after Uthman?
Say, not after Uthman, after Ali ibn Abi Talib. This would be immediately, after just a few years after.
Few years. And this was for the purpose of what?
For the purpose of, said, this is a change in the writing system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Nothing changed.
And it was
in the Quran.
Done by, absolutely. It's the writing system. For example, I will tell people now, look at the word color in the British writing. And the word color is written in the American writing. You would see that this U is written, and in the American system, they drop the U, right? Mm-hmm. Look at the word night, N-I-G-H-T, and now the people write it N-I-T-E, right?
Yeah.
So it's still the same pronunciation, the same word, the same meaning, does not change anything, but it is the change in the writing system. And this happens in all the world. So this the dotting system was introduced at the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and this was by a person called Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. We know the person, the name, and we know that this was well documented. There's nothing to hide or to conceal here. And at the same time, the Quran was continuing to be memorized more and more, and more people now are writing copies, different copies, from the 7 copies that were written. You love it, so you get a copy and you try to make a copy of the original one, until printing was introduced and hundreds and thousands and millions of copies were made. At the same time, the number of memorizers is increasing, until recently, in the last few years in the 20th century, there was a statistic about the memorizers of the Quran. They are approximately 9.3 million memorizers of the Quran. They cover it from cover to cover. They memorize it heart by heart from cover to cover. And they are almost everywhere in the world. And 50% of them, at least in the subcontinent of India and Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Let's leave off there. And I think that this opens up, if you're willing to come back, God willing, where we can talk
Inshallah.
About more about the Quran. And this
Absolutely.
Was just how it was compiled. But, you know, many of the different solutions to a lot of the problems we're having here, it
Absolutely.
Being a guidance for the mankind,
Absolutely.
Describing who our Creator is, who He is, and the wonderful rewards of paradise,
Absolutely.
And all the beautiful things that if a person lives how the Creator wants them to live,
yes.
all the delights and the beautiful
Inshallah.
Things about seeing their Lord in paradise, and
Inshallah.
All these wonderful things that we can talk
Inshallah.
About, scientific
Inshallah.
Miracles, look,
Inshallah.
I could just go on and
Absolutely.
On, Inshallah. Next episode, part
Absolutely.
3. Absolutely.
Inshallah.
Okay, and that's it. We're here with Dr. Mandu. Yeah. He agreed. So if he agreed, I'm sure now he's going to find a time. You could find a time and come back here at the Dean Show. Again, Dr. Mandu, he has his own section at thedeanshow.com. Check it out to see parts 1, 2, this one if you didn't see all of it. And then, inshallah, God willing, we're going to continue on talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. See you next time. Assalamu alaikum.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has 4 corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
It's cold, it's late, Everybody sleeping, I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know.